It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
His Worship the Mayor, Phil Goff. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Mikey. How are you?
Your town's looking good today?
Yeah, it's looking nice out there, but, you know, this is Auckland in the winter, so the sun's shining and it'll hail down in about half an hour, but...
Well, with that attitude!
Yeah, that's what we have in the winter, but no, she's looking nice out there this morning.
Just the town itself, is as we've spoken before, is ever expanding. The troubles we have with traffic, ever more complicated. But there seems to be a bit of a not entirely cheery outlook on the new bus network. I mean, it's not Wellington. It's not the Wellington blowout that's happened down there. But I mean, there seems to be a change to the bus system, which is driving a few people back to cars.
Yeah, well, the bus has been growing quite steadily, and with busways and bus lanes, that will keep growing. I came in this morning, and either there must have been an accident or something, but it was an hour and 10 minutes to get in by car, which drives me mad. You know, when you get out of bed early to leave it before 6 o'clock in the morning, and it takes you so long. Look, AT changed their routes from time to time. They usually do it after consultation. I don't have any particular say over what their routes are. I mean, that's got to be up to their experts in consultation with what the public wants. But if people have hassles with that, they need to get on to AT and say, hey, this isn't meeting our needs.
It seems to be an unusual time to implement that when everyone's just still reeling from this petrol tax.
They do it for a purpose, I'm imagining, and the purpose is generally, I mean, their vested interest is getting more people onto buses and more people onto trains, and they've been achieving both of those objectives. And, you know, I guess the regional fuel tax is another reason that people would say, look, if it's convenient for me to go in by public transport, I will use it. But not every change in the bus route suits every person. I absolutely accept that. But I also rely on AT having done a consultation process, having done a process to work out how best to get people around the city in the easiest way.
That's going to be hard to do, though, when the people you're trying to get to ride the buses aren't, like, I mean, you're not going to fill in a survey or answer questions when you're driving in your car, are you?
No, but you know, obviously, I from time to time come in by train, and when I do, it's bloody good. My difficulty is I live 15 minutes away from the train station, and that will be some other people's difficulties too. Look, the growth has been such. Actually, I made an announcement this morning. The growth has been such in rail.
I was going to get onto rail. Into my next question.
Yeah. Well, shall I preempt it?
And, yes, please.
And
do.
Say, yeah, the growth is such that when we looked at the plans for the City Rail Link, we were convinced that the thing needed to be future proofed. We hit 20 million passengers last, I think it was November. We weren't expecting to do that that's 20 million passenger trips a year. We weren't expecting to do that for 5 years' time. We have had to announce this morning that Council will be considering this week and Cabinet next week an expansion of the tunnels so that we can cater for 54,000 people per hour in peak hour instead of the earlier estimates of 36,000. Now, you know, that's really good news, because everyone with a bum on a seat in a train is somebody that's not in a single occupancy car on the motorways at peak hour. Now, that will have some cost, because we have to widen the tunnels to make the stations longer, to make for 9-carriage trains instead of 3-carriage or 6-carriage trains.
Yeah, right.
But
how,
you know,
much?
Yeah. Oh, look, it's undergoing a tender process at the moment, so yeah. I want to be careful about what I say. But you know, the basic widening of the tunnel is
not cheap. I can imagine that would not be cheap.
Not cheap, but it may be double figures in the millions. If it's a full fit out, it will be obviously triple figures in the millions. But you know, I look back at the Harbour Bridge. Now, a young fella like you, Mikey, you won't remember, but the Harbour Bridge,
wee scamp.
Yeah. It was built in 1959. It was built with four lanes, and within 10 years, by 1969, they had to double that to eight lanes. and they did the Nippon clip-ons, which, you know, aren't as good as if they had built the bridge to cater for eight lanes in the first place.
Although, to be fair, those clip-ons, they've done the job fairly well, haven't they?
But,
you know, who would have thought?
Over time, we're going to have to put the big, heavy trucks on the centre lanes rather than the clip-on lanes.
I just reckon big, heavy trucks just under the ground or something like that.
Remember the day
the trucks all went on strike and everything, oh, it's going to be chaos. It was the most beautiful day to go for a drive, and it was a Friday morning. It was amazing.
It was fantastic. But, you know, obviously the lesson that I'm talking about is we didn't future-proof the Harbour Bridge. It costs a whole lot more, and it was more disruptive to do it later. This time we're looking at future-proofing the City Rail Link so we can cater with peak-hour travel, which is nearly double what was estimated just 5 years ago.
That's a
good thing for Auckland because it shows that people are making the shift in mode of transport. And when we've got the City Rail Link in and it's quicker and it has greater capacity, that will increase the rate even faster. And up on K Road, instead of having the one entrance, which is on Mercury Lane, we'll have an entrance off Beresford Square as well. So that's going to cost a bit of money, but it will cost half as much money if we do it now than if we do it in 7 to 10 years' time. And actually, if you didn't widen the tunnel, what you'd be doing is you'd have to between seven and ten years after opening the City Rail Link, you'd have to close it for 2 years while you widened the tunnel. Well, you know, that's not common sense, so we're going to do it right the first time, and that's really important.
All right, and what other big calls have we made this week? Are we still going to have this huge Statue of Liberty thing? Is that still...
That's really up to Ngāti Whātua. I mean, I personally quite like the concept. I like the idea of having an iconic statue. But any public...
Wasn't there going to be a big statue of Jesus Christ floating in the harbour or something like that at one stage? Wasn't that discussed?
Not
during your tenure. It hasn't happened before that.
Not unless it fell off the top of the mountain at Rio de Janeiro.
It sounds like a good idea.
If you did it, there's different concepts around. Ngāti Whātua seems to still not have totally made up its mind about what it wants to do. And since they're meeting most of the cost of the thing, obviously it's going they are the ones that's driving it. It's on land that's co-governed between Ngāti Whātua and Auckland Council under a Treaty of Waitangi thing. So we were going to put some seeding money into it, but they need to get their act together and decide what they want to do first. My personal view, an iconic statue, I mean, people were considering whether that should be down at Wynyard Point or up on Bastion Point. Look, I think this is something you have a public discussion about, and there'll be as many as there are people out there expressing opinions on it, you'll have that many different opinions. But I like the idea of something iconic that marks Auckland out. You know, Sydney has its Opera House, Rio de Janeiro.
Which brings me to my next question.
Jesus statue. New York has its Statue of Liberty. You know, if we had something that was unique and it was an outstanding design for Auckland, I think that would be a good thing.
So what's happening with the St. James?
The St. James is they're doing the earthquake strengthening on it.
So it's not completely eradicated yet?
No. The problem was that the developer... that was going to fund a whole lot of the money out of it by taking, you know, airspace above it. That fell through a couple of years ago, and it is a hell of a lot. You're talking about a serious amount of money there. You know, you were talking about, $60-70 million, I think. It's huge. But, you know, at the same time, you don't want to wipe out all your heritage.
And people still talk about
His Majesty's Theatre that was demolished. And, you know, you need something in the city to tell you about your past, where you've come from. So to the extent that you can afford to do it, you try to do it. And there's another big debate, of course, around the Yates Building. They're going to keep the facade of it. Personally, I don't...
Where's the Yates Building?
Oh, that's down Albert Street. They're building up... They just announced yesterday they're going to build $250 million hotel, keeping the facade of the... I think it's the Yates Building that they're keeping the facade of. But, you know, There's about four huge hotels being built across Auckland at the moment, each of them worth, several hundred million dollars.
Yeah.
And that's a sign, of a tourist trade that's doing well for Auckland, creating jobs, creating income.
Just don't build them too close together and too high so that the only places that tourists walk around in is just shade.
Yeah. Well, that's the
Queen Street paradox, isn't it?
Yeah.
Walk up Queen Street, there's no sun at all.
Well, these hotels, some of them are about... this one's, I think, 41 stories, so it's bloody huge. But if you don't go up, you have to go out, and if you go out, you've got problems as well. So, in the CBD area, you are going to have some of those big buildings, just like you'll have down the precinct property down at the bottom of Queen Street.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you look at what the development plan is for the waterfront, having a
it does make the waterfront look good because you wander through the shade and the wind tunnels for about like 10 minutes and then you pop out the bottom and go, oh, beautiful. Hey, yeah. a few questions coming in just regarding the trains and stuff,
yeah.
Phil. So all stations going to be lengthened to take 9-carriage trains as well?
We're starting with the City Rail Link because that's the one that you can't, that you have difficulty retrofitting. So the Aotea station and the Karangahape Road station will be lengthened. Ultimately, as your growth happens, your stations, other stations around Auckland will also have to be lengthened if you've got 9-carriage trains. Yeah.
Yep. And what about, someone said, Mikey, ask Phil Goff to reinstate the abandoned station at Newton.
Oh, I don't know much about that, so I can't really comment
right,
on it.
Right. Just jot down station at Newton.
But
discuss.
Whatever we do, there needs to be, and I'd need to get from Auckland Transport a business case for what it would cost and what benefit it would bring.
What about asking them as well about the five buses going down King Street in Grey Lynn last week, which is a dead end street? Someone just sent a message about that as well.
Why don't you just email AT and get it from the horse's mouth, mate? That would
You're
be
the mayor. Come on, what, for people who don't understand, what is the relationship between AT and Auckland Transport and the City Council?
Yeah, we fund AT, and the government funds AT, but they. On operational matters, obviously, I don't sit there and plan their bus routes. They do that at arm's length from us. That's why they were created as a separate organisation. But, when we had a problem with the hop card, if you didn't log on immediately after you put money in it, you were in danger of losing the money after 2 years. And people said, geez, this is daylight robbery. We lose that money. We don't even know that it's gone. I'd have a talk with Lester Levy, the chair of AT, about that. And we got a solution to it. So, I'm capable of having discussions with AT and getting change. But I don't sit down and try to deal with all of the details of how bus routes or train routes run. That's something that they've got expertise in. That's something they should have a direct relationship with the commuting public on. And you don't want the mayor and council interfering with every second decision that they make. That's not how it works, and it's deliberately designed so that doesn't happen.
Before we go, I'm just going to stick my oar in and give you a great idea.
Yep.
Here is what I think we should have is some sort of on the City Council website, on the Auckland City Council website, something which just ticks over showing how much of the regional fuel tax has been earned by the city, like by Aucklanders, and so that we know that it's all, when you go, look at that, that's a lot of money, we'll be able to put that into infrastructure.
Yeah.
We'll be able to do this with that. We'll be able to, so then it looks like you're contributing. When you pay a parking ticket or something, it just goes into the nowhere land, and you'd like to know where it's going, you'd like to know where your money goes, if you're going to pay this extra money for gas, then have a little tally there.
Absolutely, and you can...
You can
be assured right now that every dollar that comes out of the regional fuel tax goes back into transport. That's required under law, and I was very happy that it's required under law. Secondly, again, if you look at the website, you will see exactly where that money is being divided over a range of different transport modes, from upgrading roads, creating new roads, creating busways, creating new a third main trunk for heavy rail, buying new electric motorised units, electrifying out to Pukekohe, walkways and cycleways. You can see a total breakdown of where that money goes. But what you're saying is, okay, maybe at the end of each year, how much have you raised, and where is it gone?
It feels like you're sort of just spitting out $10 a day to somebody, you know. But if it actually see how it all adds up,
it's useful. You'd be travelling.
I'm a man on the go. I'd be travelling. That's like travelling all the way to work and back. I've got to go, Phil. But thank you very much.
Okay, mate.
Speak to you again. Topics to do with the city next week.
Okay, catch up with you then. Cheers.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.